After explaining the greatness of salvation, Apostle Peter is giving some exhortations. Not only three, there are much more. They are coming there, slowly. Now here in 13 to 17, we have three specific instructions. As our responsibility, our duty, whatever it may be. First of all, what is the first one? Set your hope fully on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be of full of hope. Long for the coming of Christ. Look forward eagerly, earnestly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second one is, be holy. In all your conduct, be holy. Not to conform to the former lust, which was there in our ignorance. Not to follow the pattern that we had once we used to go there like that. Now thirdly, we couldn't go there. Third instruction is, third responsibility is, that we find in verse 17, live in fear. Stay in fear. Or conduct yourselves in fear. See, end of verse 17. We read there. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. In short, we can say, live in fear. What kind of fear? Whose fear? Now, in that verse, it's very clearly says, if you call on the Father, referring to God, he says to the readers, you call upon God as your Father. It's true. That is an intimate relationship. God is your Father. At the same time, you should also remember, this God is a God who is, what is it from there? Who is judge. Impartial judge. God is our Father. There is a loving relationship. We can go to God at any time. We can call God Abba Father. But Peter says, remember one more thing. He is a judge. I believe this is something very much essential for us. Especially for brethren believers. Why? Because we know, or we give more importance on doctrine, assurance of salvation, you know, assurance of salvation. We got saved, saved forever and ever. We shall be in heaven forever and ever. We have accepted the Lord, I have accepted the Lord as my Savior, and I belong to Him, and He belongs to me, and I will be with Him forever and ever after I die. So my salvation is assured, secure. And God is my Father. He's a loving, gracious God. He will not do anything. He forgives me. So what happens? We don't have that fear of God. I think, many quite often, because we stress much on the assurance of salvation, that is not wrong, it's right actually. Because we stress much on the fatherhood of God, that also is not wrong, right only. We forget that God is a judge. It's a consuming fire. So Peter says, you call upon Him as a Father. But remember, He is holy God. Consuming fire. Who will judge. Impartial. No partiality. Now, do you know, do you think that we have any more judgment? There are many believers, they think, as I have already told you, because in Romans 8:1, what is the verse? To those who are in Christ Jesus, no more condemnation. No more condemnation. That is true. No more condemnation. At the same time, the Bible says, yet we will have to go through what? Judgment. What kind of judgment? 2 Corinthians 5:10. We know that verse. What is that verse? 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's about the believers, Christians only. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we read that. For we must all, not you believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us should appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive, each one. So every Christian, every member, every believer, he has to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When? After that. After a rapture even. There will be a day when all of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us shall be examined, evaluated. You see the same thing Apostle Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, it is there, verse 13 we shall read. We read there, each one's work will become clear. Each one's work. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we should not forget that there is a day when we will have to stand before God and He is going to examine what kind of life we lived, our work for Christ. Of course, I should not say something that can give misunderstanding, you know. It's about the work of a Christian, the service of a Christian. All our work will be evaluated. It is in connection with giving reward, of course. But at the same time, there's another aspect also. Not only we need to fear, we need to be conscious of this day when I'm going to stand before God and He's going to judge my life and ministry, my service, my activities for the Lord, and also I must fear one thing more. What is that? Even today. Read that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Apostle Paul tells the Corinthian believers, chapter 11, verses 29, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself. Who is this person? Believer. A believer who is participating from the Lord's table, unworthy in an unworthy manner. Unworthily, Paul says, you are eating and drinking judgment. So even today, God is judging us. Now in the end, somewhere it is written there, there will not be any condemnation. Yeah, it is written there in verse 31, end of verse 31 also. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We have no more condemnation along with the world. We will not be punished for eternal hellfire. At the same time, when we are living in this world, we have no fear of God. We don't live in a holy life. We don't live holy. We just conform to the world. We just go according to the fashions of this world. We just adopt the trend of this world. We have no concern for holiness. We have no concern for spiritual limitations. Judgment is upon us. Paul says. Because we have no condemnation with the world. All our sins must be dealt with here itself. Paul says, if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. You understood that, you realized that, that's a failure. You settle it before coming to the presence of the Lord, before coming to a worship meeting. Settle it immediately. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Little children, I write. John says, we should not commit sin. If sin committed, what happens? We have an advocate with the Father. Go to Him. Settle sin, questioning matter. Otherwise, judgment will come upon us. Where? Here itself. Paul says in which verse it is? 29?
Yeah, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, many sleep. Many are weak. You should never say that when somebody is sick or weak, it's because of your sin. We have no right to judge anybody. We need to examine ourselves. We should never judge other person. You are sick because of your sin. But I should examine myself. That whether God is judging me or not, chastening me or not. That is chastisement. He will chasten us. So because of these things, there is a God. God is our Father. But don't forget, God is a judge. He will judge us. It's not simply written material. If we carefully examine our life, if we just look around, look back to history, we will see God's judgment. Judgment? God's chastening hands falling upon believers who without any hesitation boldly committed evil deeds. Without any hesitation, they chose to live in sin. Deliberately living in sin. Deliberately going against the word of God. God's chastening hands falling upon. When I say this, I say it with must. And I don't know if in my life also. I should examine. It's my job to examine myself. I should never condemn anybody else. I should never. But generally speaking, we see it around. So Peter says, we should fear God. You live, as long as you live in this world, you should fear God. What is fear of God? What do you mean by fear of God? Before I go there, I'll come to the meaning. No, let's read one more verse. You know, speaks about the importance of it. Solomon says in the end of his book, which book? Ecclesiastes. He says there, in the end of that book, he says, "This is the conclusion. I have studied everything. I have gone through. I have made a research on everything. This is my conclusion. What is that? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Fear God. What is the conclusion? The conclusion. What is that? Fear God. Conclusion means nothing else, nothing more. He says, this is the most important thing. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's old. God will bring every work into judgment. Including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear God. Now, what is fear of God? What do we think about fear of God? When the Bible says, or Peter says, live in fear, it doesn't mean that we have to tremble and we have to consider this thing that God is a cruel God. He will kill me now. He wants my blood. And something like a cruel now, goddesses of seven religion. God is a father, of course, that's true. What does it mean by fear of God? When the Bible says about fear God, what is the idea? I think the idea is this. I may have that consciousness. I am very much before God. God is always with me. I can't be away from God. He is always watching me. There is no secret. I cannot hide anything in my life. Everything is open to Him. So this consciousness, always telling me, reminding me, I am always having that consciousness that there is a God who is watching. There is a God who is taking a note of everything. So what should happen, my entire life I have to live with that realization, I am living in the presence of God. I can't go away from God's presence. He knows everything. Everything He is carefully watching, and I cannot hide myself. God is very much present. So that God consciousness, not just God consciousness, there's a respect for Him. Realizing that God is ever with me, so I respect Him. I honor Him. Now Peter says one thing more. One thing more means he says that, just read again, conduct yourselves throughout. So the conduct means live. Your behavior should be in such a manner that you fear God. In other words, he says fear of God will change our behavior. If we have that fear of God, it will be reflected in our behavior. Very important, I think. I believe it is very important. So our conduct, our life, the whole life is affected by fear of God. If we have fear of God, that fear of God will control our life. Now we have a lot of verses to consider. I'll just go through few verses. Examples. Life of certain people. When you examine their life, that specific verse says that the way they behaved in a particular moment, because they feared God. Yes, if you examine, I think it's better not to go, we may read, it will go, you know, Genesis 6:22. Genesis 6:22. About Noah we read there. What is that verse? End of chapter 66, Genesis 6. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. I'm sure you know it, that portion. Noah obeyed all what God said. What is the reason? Now you should remember, whatever God told him to do, it was against, that's more important, it's against common sense. It was against logic. Because God said, I am going to send such a flood that the whole world will be flooded. I am going to save you, and what you should do, you make an ark. Such, and the details are there. And he has to preach it. No one has seen rain at any time. So he is preaching something, or he is doing something, he is obeying something, that it is totally against logic and common sense. People will mock it. Yet he obeyed, completely obeyed. Why? We don't read the reason here particularly, but we read in the book of Hebrews, it is written there in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, because of fear of God. Because of fear of God. He feared God. Genesis 6:22. Noah, fear of God prompted Noah to obey God's commandment, even if it is against logic. I can't spend much time on those verses. Just I'll go through all those verses together. See, Genesis 22. Abraham obeyed. You just can just see there. Abraham obeyed. What was the reason? When you read that verse, you know it's written there. Genesis 22 told because of fear of God. He obeyed, willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac. What is the reason? Fear of God. And one more verse. Genesis 39. About the, you know, about Joseph, you know that. Joseph. What was that thing prompted him to flee away from the presence of Potiphar's wife? What was the reason? It is written there in 42:18, I fear God. I fear God. I cannot do it. I fear God. So fear of God stopped Joseph from wickedness. Another verse, Exodus 1:17, about the midwives it is written. Hebrew midwives. They were commanded to kill every boy of Hebrew Israelites.
But they did not kill Moses.
Why?
Written there, they feared God.
They feared God. 1 King 18 verse 12. Another reference is there about Obadiah. Now Obadiah, during the time of Isabel, he protected some 100 servants of God. Protected them, provided for them. Why? Again, it is written there, he feared God.
One more verse is there. Nehemiah 5:15.
There you read that Nehemiah did not burden the people. Earlier, the governors, they gave burden to people. They had no concern for people. But Nehemiah says, I did not give any burden to people because I fear God. So what I want to say is that the conclusion is, the main point is, fear of God affects our entire life. Fear of God affects our entire life. See, today we live in such an age. Many believers today, they question the stand taken by our forefathers. There are some who say, our parents, they went to the extreme. It was not necessary to go to that extreme. It says the word doesn't say that. They follow it, then why come we? Why should we take such a strict stand? Why should we go to that extreme? No, our parents made a mistake. Our parents have taught us something which is little more extreme things from the Bible. They question everything. Why? What is the reason for that? They think that because of the, you know, intellectual explosion, they know it much more than the past generation. So they question every stand taken by the forefathers. The reason is nothing else. Lost fear of God. We have ministry, we have everything. We have everything, we know everything. Fear of God we lost. We lost that sense of God, that consciousness of the ever presence, the God presence ever before us. Fear of God. If you have fear of God, we have every answer. No argument, no logic. We will only look to the Bible, see if it is written there, I have to follow. No question, no logic, no argument. But we make it because we don't fear God. Fear of God affects every area of life. One more verse. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, there's an interesting verse is there. God says to the people of Judah, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, we read there, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that these people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. He says, don't fear the foreigners. Don't fear the Assyrians or Babylonians. Fear me. Fear me. Let the Lord be your fear. That means, when you fear God, fear of people will vanish. All other fear will go. We don't want to obey the word of God because our friends say something, our neighbors are saying something, our dear ones are saying something. We want to satisfy them. We are just frightened what they will say, what the people will say. We don't want to follow the Bible because of some reason. All such fear will go when I fear God. I follow this way. I don't need to mind what the other person will think. I have to follow the Bible. Whatever may be the idea of one is, whatever may be their suggestion, whatever may be their coming, I need to fear God. I need to obey God's word. I need to go according to God's word.
No other question.
Because I fear God. But the thing is, before I will have no fear of others, I have to fear God. Fear of God takes away all other fear. Fear God. Apostle Peter says you fear God. One more thing is there. It's not written there in Peter. In Apostle Peter doesn't say that. But we read elsewhere. We have plenty of Bible references where we read that. God has lot of. Not Lord, I should not say Lord. God will bless only those who fear Him. We have plenty of Bible verses. I have no time to go through all those verses. We shall just look into those verses. Blessing is based upon fear of God. Isaiah 66. Few verses. Just Isaiah 66, verse 2. Always I just wish to rush, but I can't stop from explaining, no? I should explain these things, more important. For all those things my hand has made, all those things exist, says the Lord. On this one will I look, on this one, whom? Upon whom? On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. I will look upon that person who will tremble before my word. God will look upon those people who will fear God. In Psalm 147:11, you don't need to read that. There we see God is pleased in those who fear God. Believe it. Fear God. God is pleased. God will look upon us and what He is going to do. When we fear God, see some of the verses there. Psalm 145:19, we read, God will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. And God will store up goodness for them. Lay up goodness for them. God has blessings for the people who fear God. They lack nothing. Those who fear God, they lack nothing. And we read there in Psalm 25, God reveals His secrets to those who fear Him. God will communicate to them. God will share His burden with those people. And we read in Psalm 115, 128, you know those verses, blessed are they. They will be blessed. Blessed is the man who fears God, who walks in His command, he walks in His commandments. Then in Psalm 28 you will read that, even there, generation will be blessed. Generation will be blessed. How much we should fear God. Generation will be blessed. Blessings of the generation will be lost if we choose not to fear God. I say these things, some of the story is coming to my mind. Today the generations are struggling, because deliberately certain people, somebody I know, at least one or two or few, they chose to, without any fear of God, they chose to do certain things which they should not have done. Deliberately did it. Children are struggling. I don't know it is that. I don't know why or how, but the truth is children are struggling. None of them, even one of them, could succeed. How much I should fear God. If the Lord tarries, my children should not say, because of my father, because of my mother, because he or she did not fear God and deliberately did such a wicked thing, such an evil thing, or disobey God, we are struggling. We have to reap the consequences. The Bible says it. I think from experience, we have to learn that. Fear God.